This is Author Talk, presented by Author House, the leading provider of services to help authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Author Talk is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. Here is Author Talk with host Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, A Look into the Rearview Mirror. And the author is Carolyn Noah Gretz. And Carolyn joins us now on Author Talk. Hello, Carolyn.
Hi. Hello.
Great to have you with us. This is a memoir of your growing up in the countryside of Carroll County, Mississippi, and talks about your moves and your graduating from high school and getting into nursing school, and the rest is a beautiful history, isn't it?
I like to think of it as history because I do share chronology of history and the history of my life up to right after I married. I haven't written the second part of this memoir, which I'm encouraged to do, but I really want to share it with others because I think everybody has a story to tell.
And it's important to tell it. That's why you wrote it.
Yes, indeed.
And so as you look back on your life, you look back on those early years, and you get in a little bit about your mom and dad as well?
Yes,
and definitely. So where did they come from?
Both of my parents were born in Carroll County, Mississippi, and all of their parents, except one, were also born there. It was after the Dancing Rabbit Creek Treaty, which people might have to look up on Google, but it was when Greenwood LaFleur at the time, but later Greenwood LaFleur, signed this Dancing Rabbit Treaty, Creek Treaty, with the U.S. government, and my ancestors landed there in the 1830s. And I have one grandfather who was born in Alabama and didn't come to Mississippi until 1895. But we have a long history in Mississippi, although I do live in New Orleans for over 50 years.
Now, you've included photographs.
Yes. I had the good fortune to meet a man and marry a man who did darkroom photographs since he was a little boy. And so he took all of those photographs and redid them for me. So I have photographs of my grandparents and, of course, me and other folks in my family. I even have one photograph in there of a great-great uncle who served in the Confederacy with his photo and his family, Samuel or S.P. Johnson. That's on one page in that book.
Well, you graduated from high school in 1956. Why did you decide to go to nursing school?
Since I was in the second grade in the country school, that was a three-room school at the time. Later, it was a one-room school. Wanted to be a nurse. And so it just came true. And my dream. I got on a train in Winona, Mississippi, which is 10 miles north of my town. Came on the city of New Orleans to New Orleans. And I knew one person here. She met me at the train. And I took the testing to get into nursing school, and I stayed here after that. I was selected to be a member of the class of 1959 nursing school.
And so that was not only a dream come true, but a launching of a long, great career in nursing, and you've done a lot of things along the way.
I have, but I'm a blessed person because I have had the motivation to study, and I still study a lot, I'm studying Portuguese and Spanish. Now we travel to Brazil usually once a year. I love studying. I love getting up in the morning and thinking about what am I going to study that day, although I usually have it planned. And after I went to nursing school, I went to anesthesia school, graduated from anesthesia school, and married that same year. But later on, after marriage and having two children, I decided I wanted to get a BA degree. So I did that at the University of New Orleans. I have a big, big interest in horticulture. And if that had been available here in New Orleans, so that I didn't have to drive to Baton Rouge, I'd have a degree in horticulture today. But I'm happy that I had the BA degree. It was very enlightening and learning so much about different things that I hadn't thought about before. Nursing is not a narrow profession by any means, because you meet people from all over the world, and especially in New Orleans, because it is a port city. So, and I volunteer now at what we call the Historic New Orleans Collection. And I'm, as a result of doing that, when I am there every week, I meet people from Croatia, from every state in the United States. It is so much fun, and I'm glad that I can give back in a place that I love.
You write that you were born into a family that was disciplined to work and expected to do so. That was just the bottom line.
That was the bottom line, and that we all have done that. I'm one of five, and we all, I worked until I was 66 years old. Katrina came, and I gave up nursing and just decided I could volunteer, which I do a lot of that. But each of my siblings, we have all worked beyond our 65 years, except one. One is not 65 at this point. He'll just be 60 this year, but he's a hard worker. All of us are hard workers. That just goes with the family.
And you also write that you were brought up with a belief in God, and you grew up knowing the importance of helping others, and I guess thus nursing came so easy for you.
Yes, and it does today. Even when I go out any place, if I see somebody that needs help, like rolling a wheelchair or getting their walker, or it's just part of my inner being to help others.
Now, of course, your life, like everyone, you've had some hardships along the way, some adversity. What would you say would be some of those moments in your life, some of those adversities that have really perhaps helped you?
I do believe that if people allow adversities to help instead of harm them, that they can grow from them. When I came to New Orleans, I was so homesick. But despite that, I put my head to the book and studied, met a lot of different people. Another thing is, I had a son who had a drug problem and actually went to jail because of it. And that, for a mother, is an awful thing. But my husband thought that we should let him, it was a federal jail. My husband thought that it was important to let him learn. And it was hard for me to go along with that, but it is true that he learned. And he doesn't have a drug problem today. So I'm happy to say that about him, and to say that we will overcome if we strive to do that. And I'm real proud that today he lives in Rio de Janeiro, speaks another language, and we get to visit him. But that is the biggest obstacle that I've ever had. I mean, lately I've had some arthritic problems and had a hip replacement, but even that has gone wonderfully.
So how do you view, looking back in your life, some of the problems your father had with alcohol?
Oh, that was a really serious problem. It made us very poor because, I mean, he was a hard worker, but he never knew how to put a little bit aside to save in the bank. And even when I went to nursing school, I borrowed the money from the bank. We went up to the bank in that little town, and three people went on a note. So to get back to my father, I will have to say that even though he had the drinking problem, none of us really have that problem. And I feel blessed that, and especially I don't have the problem, because my husband sometimes teases me. I know it's teasing, but he says, "You're no fun. You don't drink enough." But my favorite drink is water.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing to be drinking, that's for sure.
So to get that, what the alcohol did is it made my mother and father yell at each other all the time. They perfected the art of yelling.
Mm.
And my mother, after I was married and much later on, used to think that I could do something about it. But we all know that once a person, whatever it is, they have to know they themselves need to work on it. My dad would have never admitted he needed to work on it until it was too late and it had affected his brain.
And you've stayed in contact with a lot of your nursing school classmates.
I did. And this year, I've just finished, within the last 2 weeks, emailing the ones that I email, all the news of all the classmates. I've kept in contact with all of them except one I've lost entirely, and that's out of 22 people. That one, I have no idea of where she is. But the others, I do have some idea. And I write a little note every year, and those who do not have email, I call and I talk to them. I have a couple nursing school classmates, one who has cancer in the mouth and another one who has ovarian cancer, and they've been treated several years. So I always keep the others in contact with what is going on with them as well. And I visit, one of them lives here nearby, so we visit her.
So it's important to keep notes, keep a log. What's the best way to do that?
For me, it's another part of being the way I am. I had a diary in nursing school, and if people have the book, they can see little things that I'll say, "Dr. So-and-so yelled at me today." It was brief in those days because I was too busy studying, but I would tell the first day when I had saw a spinal tap or different things like that. And in those days, it's brief. Nowadays, I still keep a log of what I do. Yesterday, I attended a Tennessee Williams event that was just so much fun. And so I was able to write that all down. Not only do I write notes, I keep all kinds of other things, and I keep them in chronological order of the days that I did them. A friend of mine's husband said, "You should have been an archivist." Well, in a way, I'm my own family archivist.
And you save photos and you label them, you keep track, make sure that everybody knows what this means, the significance of it.
Well, absolutely, because I do have photographs, and I labeled them with a date and where they were. And then sometimes if I spend some time later on and need to look back, I can look at my log and say, oh, yes, I was there today. And then that brings up other things that I might want to put on the photograph.
Well, it's just a great, great tribute to you, Carolyn, for being so very responsible in this legacy, your life and others that were around you, for your posterity and others to read. So let's see, A Look Into the Rearview Mirror, that's the title, and Carolyn Noah Gretz, that's the author. Carolyn, tell us how to get your book.
Well, they can order it from me, and I found out it's on Amazon also. But actually, calling me up, and I don't mind if you give them my number, I mean my cell phone number, I can mail it to them cheaper than they can get it from Amazon. But at any rate, do you want me to give you an address, or you have my cell phone number?
Right. The cell phone number is 504-957-0547. And people can call you, and they can get the book directly from you, or they can go to Amazon or authorhouse.com and get it as well.
I will, of course, if they get it from me, it will be a signed book.
Yes, yes, that would be nice to have,
well,
definitely.
Tell me who they are and how to get it to them.
That's right.
Yes.
Well, Carolyn, you've been a delight. Thank you so much for being with us on Author Talk.
Thank you very much, Steve, for calling. You have a great day.